And the Grammy goes to... Oh, come on. Twice as tall, Burna Boy. Omo Naija.
At the 63rd Annual Grammy Awards, Nigerian Afrofusion artist Burna Boy won a Grammy for his fifth studio album, Twice as Tall, the first of his music career.
Look at me now, Grammy award-winning Burna Boy. Thank you to everyone. My whole family is here.
The album, which he released in 2020, won the 2021 Best Global Album category, beating artists like Bebel Gilberto and Anushka Shankar. His win was big because even though African artists have always won Grammys, this was the first time an African artist won with the new sound and genre called Afrobeats.
Yes, tonight is Grammy award-winning global superstar Burna Boy. He's here to talk about becoming the first Nigerian artist to play and sell out Madison Square Garden. Please welcome...
In March 2022, U.S. industry Bible, Billboard, launched an Afrobeats chart in collaboration with the music festival Afronation.
I've been waiting for this moment for a long time. Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy, Davido, and you're watching Billboard News.
It was a response to the wave of mainstream success by artists like Davido, whose hit singles If and Fall took over American airwaves in 2019. Just 3 years prior, Drake had featured Wizkid on One Dance, the summer single that peaked at number one on the US Billboard charts. Today, singles like Essence by Wizkid and Tems, CK's Love Nwantiti, and Burna Boy's Last Last have all charted in the US and helped mark Afrobeat's official crossover to the big league. Fast forward to 2022. In July, the Grammy Recording Academy tweeted an article that called Afrobeats a blend of West African and Black American music. And while some people agreed, a lot of people didn't. People were upset because they wanted Afrobeats to be recognized as its own thing that doesn't center America or American culture. Lots of the replies were of people saying things like, this has nothing to do with American music, or that even if Afrobeats did have Black American influences in the past, this time it was different. Afrobeats is different. It's African. Today, the world is playing catch up to a culture that has been brewing for over 20 years. Between tweets from the Grammys and the new wave of Nigerian artists whose sounds are more R&B than traditional Afrobeats, the term is only getting bigger and more misunderstood. The tweet has since been updated to read, Afrobeats is a blend of West African musics. And in June of this year, the Recording Academy created a brand new Grammy category just for African artists called the Best African Music Performance. But even with all the damage control, the aftermath of this tweet has left a question that still needs answering. You are listening to Uncultured, a podcast where we give you short answers to culture's biggest questions so you don't have to worry about looking uncultured. I'm your host, Coach, and I'm wondering, what exactly is Afrobeats? So for those who don't know, what's the basic difference between Afrobeats with an S and Afrobeat?
Well, the difference is everything. The difference is everything.
That's Uche Kone, a music journalist and archivist whose work is centered around preserving Nigerian music culture.
Afrobeat, at least as we know it, as it's most popularly known, is associated with the Nigerian band leader Fela Anikolapokuti, who died in 1997. But, you know, in the 1970s, he really did revolutionize Nigerian music, African music in general, with his particular style, which was a blend of jazz, funk, Latin music, and some Nigerian elements. So Afrobeats was a very specific sound. It was very much band-based. It was based on the jazz orchestra. And then modern Afrobeats is, like most modern music, it is created on computers in digital audio work workstations, and it just reflects the general ethos of a post-hip-hop world. I mean, that's why it's called Afro Beats, because it's about making beats as opposed to playing with a band.
It's October 14th, 1970, and Fela Kuti is performing at the Afro Spot, an underground nightclub at the Empire Hotel. He's playing with his band, the Africa 70, and in the audience is American bass player Bootsy Collins. Bootsy Collins had come to Lagos to play shows alongside American funk superstar James Brown. And that night, he had ducked into the Afro Spot to see Fela perform. They'd both heard about the man playing a new genre that combined a blend of African-American jazz, West African highlife, and Afro-Cuban music, creating a sound that Fela himself would dub Afrobeat. Later that year, Fela and the Afro 70 would go to Los Angeles and record 10 tracks that would become Fela, 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 the first record with his new Afrobeat sound. When Fela created Afrobeat, it was a reflection of his time, a time where Ghanaian highlife stars like Iti Mensah were pushing out the last of colonial classical music with a new homegrown sound that matched the feeling of freedom from colonizers.
Dr. King, how are things shaping up now for tomorrow?
It was a time of black global consciousness, independence movements, civil rights movements, and all kinds of liberation protests and activism happening in Africa and both Americas. It was during this time that Fela would visit the US in 1969 and come back to Nigeria with a new name for his band. They went from the Kula Lobitos to the Africa 70. It was also in this time in Nigerian music history, from the 70s to the late 80s, that Afrobeat would become Nigeria's most global era. That is, until now.
So, I felt that Afrobeat was the gold that gave Afrobeats its currency. And the name Afrobeats itself is based on that, you know? It was called Afrobeats to try to link it to that older music. You know, I used to say that Afrobeat without the S, as well as, you know, a lot of vintage Nigerian music that I'm most famous for playing as a DJ and writing about as a historian. I used to think that that music functioned as the gold standard for the modern music. Like, you know, the gold standard in monetary policy, where the value of a currency is based upon a fixed quantity of physical gold. Because, you know, over the past 25 years, since Fela died, you know, Afrobeat has become quite popular around the world. Then you had other artists like the Lijadu sisters and William Onyeabo and Christy Essien, who also became popular around the world. And everybody knew that as the most prominent music from Nigeria. This search for a name has gone on for a long time. I can remember around 2008, 2009, when people were experimenting with names like Bedu and Naija Jams and stuff like that. And, you know, at the time when we were still calling the music Naija Hip Hop, you know, the very name suggests a watered down take of something else, you know, a Nigerian take on American hip hop. You know, there's an almost inferiority complex to the name. So by calling it Afrobeats, you're linking it back to a glorious history. You know, you saw that around the 2013 era when, you know, when Wizkid had that album where he was really evoking Fela, and, you know, when he had Ojo Legba and stuff like that. And when Burna Boy first came out, everybody was always making a big deal about his connections to Fela, whether it's through his grandfather, who was Fela's manager, or through some of his visual imagery when he appeared on stage with no shirt, with his fist raised in the air, and he would spell out in a lot of his lyrics. Wizkid too was doing the same thing. Because there was this need to try to connect yourself to Fela and older Nigerian artists who seemed to be much more respected internationally.
When Fela died in 1997, the genre he pioneered would eventually lose resonance. From the late 80s, the influence of artists like Fela and Tony Allen would start to give way to new sounds that were being imported from across the Black diaspora and through American record labels like Sony. In the short space of about 30 years post Fela's death, Nigerian music had undergone a reggae phase led by stars like Majek Fashek and Rasky Mono, a Fuji phase inspired by stars like Siku Rainde Barista, and finally, a hip-hop phase inspired by the US and made popular in the early 2000s by stars like Tony Tetuila. And Idris Abdul Karim. This hip-hop phase happened to be the same time that local record labels like Kenny's Music were starting to spring up, and Kenny's Music would go on to be responsible for spreading this sound across the country. At the same time, different genres of pop music were also getting bigger across West Africa. As West African pop grew, artists like 2Face continued the trend with songs that fused the R&B, pop, and hip-hop sounds that dominated the Nigerian airwaves. As the industry got bigger, Nigerians were taking more ownership of these American sounds and were beginning to fuse them with the indigenous sounds of the past, like juju, highlife, and akbala. It was in this context that the West African pop music sound Afrobeats with an S would eventually emerge. From the context of West African, South American, Caribbean, and American sounds that were constantly being circulated around the Black diasporas. We can hear it in Sonny Ade's juju drums that get their distinct flavor from the beats of the Brazilian tambourine drum. We can also hear the politics of African American jazz that spurred the lyrical activism of Fela's Afrobeat. Whether we're talking Caribbean dancehall or American hip-hop, R&B or funk, jazz or soul, all these genres are the birth parents of the Nigerian pop music scene that is Afrobeats today. So, if this is all common knowledge, why were people so upset that the Grammys mentioned Black American music as an influence on Afrobeats? When you saw the tweet from the Grammys that described Afrobeats as a blend of West African and Black American musics, what did you think?
Well, I thought that it's fairly accurate, isn't it? It's not that it's inaccurate. It is probably more reductive than anything, because Afrobeats as it exists today is more than just a blend of West African and Black American music. There are elements there from the Caribbean. There are elements there from Latin America. There are elements from other African countries. There are influences from mainstream Western pop. But yes, when you get to the root of it, it is a fusion between certain aspects of West African music combining with the most prominent music to come out of Black America over the past 40 years, which is hip-hop. So to that extent, you could say that that tweet is not inaccurate, but it just doesn't give you the full picture of what exactly has gone on here.
So would you describe Afrobeats as a genre?
Yeah, sure it is. But it also depends on how you describe a genre. Genre music is a concept which has become increasingly irrelevant over the past 20 years. Especially as, you know, technology has changed the mode in which the general public consumes music. Genre was a concept that was mostly useful at a time when the record store was a physical location with shelves. And in the West, at least, a lot of the genre groupings really had less to do with musical qualities than they did with cultural ones. Like in America, a lot of genre was really based on race when you get down to it. Well, what I'm trying to say is that if you want to think of genre as a particular, as a category that groups together specific, distinct musical qualities, I don't think Afrobeats is that, because there's Afrobeats has all sorts of different sounds. Now, if you want to think about genre as a particular cultural signifier that, you know, that attends to the expectations of the listener based on a particular identity group, like, you know, in that case, yeah, Afrobeats is a genre. It's the modern music coming out of Nigeria specifically, although you could also expand it to include other African countries.
Okay, so before we left, we were talking about where the term Afrobeats came from. It's been less than a decade since Afrobeats officially started crossing over from West Africa to the world. Its origin story as an international genre starts in 2013 with Dibanj and Dunjazzy's hit single, Oliver Twist. That single took the UK by storm and ushered in acts like Fuse ODG, whose 2014 hit, Antenna, cemented Afrobeats as an inescapable part of the UK music scene. It was DJs and black on-air personalities in the UK, like DJ Abranti and Eddie Caddy, that popularized the term Afrobeats to describe the sounds crossing over.
Only thing what I was trying to do is get more exposure for the genre of music, which is Afrobeats.
But the Afrobeats sound didn't start in 2013 or with Dibanj and Dunjazzy. It had already been buzzing all over the continent, particularly in Nigeria and Ghana, since the early 2000s. It was a scene that was slowly evolving from its usual copycatting of American culture to something different. Afrobeats is not Afrobeat. Afrobeat was created in the 70s by Fela Kuti, and it faded in the 80s. The word Afrobeats is a term popularized by the UK that was used to describe pop music that was being exported from West Africa. This exported West African pop music is actually a scene made up of many subgenres. And finally, those subgenres are influenced by black music from all over the black diaspora. So what exactly is a music scene, and why is this the best way to describe Afrobeats? Journalists started describing niche movements in music as scenes around the time that more niche movements in jazz popped up in the 1940s. It was a word that they used to describe the way different musical tastes would come together in a particular place to create a particular set of sounds. Because these scenes were usually the result of many different influences, as opposed to an entirely new sound, the music they made was defined mostly by their location. When Afrobeat started in the early 2000s, it had the same energy. It was a bunch of musicians trying out new sounds and doing something different from the existing genres like Fuji, Highlife, and more recently, Bella's Afrobeat. So Afrobeats never started out as a genre that had very specific qualities. It was just a catch-all for music coming out of the same place and from the same kind of people. This scene has also mostly been based in Lagos, and the language of the music being made has typically been Yoruba or Pidgin English. Now that's important to highlight because, again, Afrobeats is a very specific thing that doesn't even represent all of Nigerian music. Musicians from the East like Flavor and Fino, and more recently newer acts like the Cavemen, never fit into the mold of Afrobeats, and they still don't. Have you seen my beautiful baby? And neither does music from Northern Nigeria. Music that is so widely popular and a staple of Northern culture. Yes, it's from Nigeria, by Nigerians, but it's not Afrobeats. The Afrobeats scene was a group of musicians intentionally experimenting with global sounds, and a main goal was to push these sounds beyond the continent. Artists like D'Banj, who eventually became the poster child for the crossover, had a clear mission to bring African music to the world. It's a scene that has always been global-facing and globally influenced, and in the last 10 years, it's been churning out mostly up-tempo records with the pulse of hip-hop songs and electronic dance music. It's these records that define college parties abroad and Dirty Decembers in Lagos. Almost everyone in Nigeria can remember where they were when they heard Wande called Moshi to Mohit, or when they heard Nato C's Kini Big Deal for the first time. The early days of this scene are what put Afrobeats on the map. But to the new international listener who falls under what DJ Tunes describes as Essence Warriors, listening to an older record like Pakurumo or Wiz Party would feel like listening to an entirely new genre. As Afrobeats has spread across the world, many of its pioneers have retired or just aren't putting out that much music. There's a newer, younger generation instead that has evolved past the scene. For these artists, a global audience is the standard, so are millions of streams, millions of YouTube views, and millions of followers. Nigerian artists especially are officially pop stars. When Wizkid dropped Essence with Tems, it became such a big hit that Justin Bieber requested to be on the remix. CK dropped Love Wanted in 2018, and when it blew up thanks to TikTok, Gen Z kids across the world were probably hearing their first ever Afrobeats song. If we're following the story of Afrobeats, we can see that besides the fact that Wizkid, Tems, and CK are Nigerian musicians making music from Nigeria, nothing else really makes those songs traditionally Afrobeats. It's impossible to not hear the R&B and soul melodies in these songs that are nothing like the up-tempo dance music of traditional Afrobeats. But to the US that's been unaware of the culture for so long, everything is just Afrobeats. America has been the world's biggest producer of culture and entertainment for decades. It has exported mostly black music culture across the world and opened up conversations on cultural appropriation that are harder to ignore in the age of the internet.
Here's the other thing I talk about. People treat culture as if it's as if culture is just all about sacred heirlooms, you know, as if it's kind of religion. And these are and culture is all about sacred objects that are supposed to be preserved and not touched. But the thing is that culture has always evolved by interacting with other cultures and people borrowing ideas from each other. And what's more than that, culture is a commodity. So I think that this whole discourse around cultural appropriation is really misinformed and it's really toxic. But back to Afrobeats, it's interesting. Like, I mean, you know, you've already seen Afrobeats artists coming out of Japan and Korea. And I think that's fine, you know, as long as you just respect the architects. There's nothing wrong with them doing that as long as they let people know where they got it from. As long as they don't say that they did it themselves. It's fine. I think it was Pablo Neruda who said that poetry belongs not to those who write it, but to those who need it. You know, so when you make art and you sell it to another person, of course, nobody buys music now. But when you put work to an audience and the audience takes it, I mean, art is transformative. They bring it into their body and they use it for their life.
In a time where we watch Korean pop stars cosplay Black American culture in real time to create K-pop, one of the world's fastest growing genres, the instinct to gatekeep all Black culture is understandable. America has a way of reducing everything that isn't American to one thing. Before Burna Boy won the Grammy for Best Global Music Album, the category was called the Best World Music Album. When King Sunny Ade released his first Juju album, it was classed in America under world music. It's a fact that the US has never been good at recognizing the nuances of anything that isn't American. But at the same time, they're the most vital part of what it means to be global. When Nigerian artists wanted to take Africa to the world, I don't think they really thought about how the world would take Africa and the way that it has always taken Africa as a monolith. Locally, Afrobeats stopped being an accurate description for what was going on in West African music sometime in the last 5 years. Burna Boy, who released his first single in 2012, has always clarified that his music is Afrofusion, not just Afrobeat. More recently, there's been artists like Rema who calls his style of music Afro-rave. Likewise, as the music is gaining more international fans, the local scene is also changing in interesting ways. One of the biggest albums in the past year, Asake's debut album Misemoni with the Vibe, is a blend of juju, akbala, South African amapiano, and Afro beats. Before Zinoliski started releasing amapiano records, Davido had been dabbling South African house with DJ Maphorisa. There's even a whole subculture of alternative music that started taking up in 2014, and today is headlined by acts like Santi and Adusi the Engine, who define the alter subgenre. Nigerian music has always been bigger than Afrobeats, and still is, and if it all needs to be Afrobeats for records to sell and artists to eat, then maybe that's fine. But it's also important to say it on record that there's a lot more going on than Afrobeats, and just because Americans or the world are unaware, it doesn't mean it's not happening. America might be playing catch-up, but Nigerian music has never waited for anyone to validate it. It has always been able to stand on its own. It has always been for us and by us, and that's the way it should always be. I've been your host, Kalakuta Koj, and if you like the show, please make sure to check out the next episode. Our producers for this episode have been Adora Odua and Mayo Idol. Sound design was done by Adora Odua, with additional sound design by Daniel Olalua. Original script was written by Adora Odua, and this episode has been edited by Aditol Samiat. Uncultured is produced by Culture Custodian. And a very special thank you to Uche Okonne, who you heard in this episode, and make sure to listen to our other episodes, leave us a comment, and subscribe to never miss an episode. Follow us on social media at Culture Custodian everywhere. Bye!